It's Tuesday, January the 18th, and welcome to our live broadcast called This and That. And I'm your host, Pastor David Ripley. This is where I get to offer my opinions on the news headlines of the day. This and That airs Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and is rebroadcast Thursdays at 7 p.m. Before we get into today's stories, let me state that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Grace Christian Fellowship or Grace Christian Radio. Let me begin again with the weather for tomorrow, January the 19th. You know, they said, they say that January the 17th is one of the days, the saddest days of the entire year. Now, we don't have Adam here tonight. Adam is coming down the mountain.
That is sad.
Adam, yes, our producer is not here tonight. He had to go up to the mountain. Now, I don't know what he was doing on the mountain, but I think he was fixing something. And we have the assistant producer, Sonia, right?
That's correct, yes.
That's correct. She's here tonight, and she's filling in for Adam as long as... Beside, we have some guests tonight as well. Have you heard that January the 17th is the saddest day of the year?
I have heard that, yes.
And why do you suppose it's the saddest day of the year?
I don't know. Is it weather-related, possibly?
Could it be the fact that we're kind of like in the middle of winter? You know, the kind of the darkest time, you know, where there's snow and ice and all kinds of other things happening, you know? You wake up, you don't know what's going to take place. You know, maybe people get discouraged by that. You know, the fact that the sun's not shining as often as it should. Anyway, I'm digressing. January the 19th is going to be mainly cloudy, fog patches dissipating in the morning, and a high of plus one.
That sounds sad.
You know what? I would have to differ with you, Sonia. Anything above zero, to me, is something to be happy about, right? If you're above zero, I'm happy. And the snow is melting. And the sun, you know, it shone a little bit today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we want to welcome to our broadcast today Terry Lynn and Darcy. They're healthcare workers from the town of Creston, and they will be sharing their stories later on in the broadcast. Are you happy about that?
I am happy, yes.
Yeah, I knew you would be. Well, I want to begin tonight by looking at some news in our own province. BC gyms have decided to open regardless of public health orders in Operation Green Light. Well, I heard today in the latest news, just a few hours ago, that they're going to allow gyms to open. So I guess Operation Green Light is not going to have to go ahead. Because Dr. Bonnie Henry has said, you know what, you can open up as long as you have social distancing happening. You know that, how many feet is it, Sonia?
Is it 6 feet?
Six feet. How many meters?
Two.
2 meters, thank you. Just want to check, make sure I'm on the right page. So, you know, finally the gyms are going to be able to open up, but everything else, all the restrictions that we've had for the last few months are going to stay in place. And they're not sure exactly when those restrictions will change. So that's where we are right here in British Columbia. Well, moving to La Belle Province. I don't know if my wife is listening tonight, Gina, if I said that correctly or not. But in Montreal news, the vaccination passport will now be required for liquor and cannabis shops in Quebec. We heard that news. It's finally happened. But listen, something else to add to it. Big box stores over 1,500 square feet. In the next few weeks, you're going to have a vaccination passport to go to Home Depot. Mm-hmm. Walmart.
Costco.
Costco. Yep. Canadian Tire.
Wow.
So all the unvaccinated people in Quebec are not going to be able to attend those stores if they don't have the vaccination passport. And obviously they won't if they're unvaccinated. So this is really putting a squeeze on, as well as what we mentioned last week, this vaccination tax. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
I do remember, yeah.
And what's that all about?
That's a tax for the unvaccinated. They pay a fee.
They're going to pay a fee. We don't know how much that's going to be. They said it's going to be more than $50, more than $100. Hmm. And we know in several countries in the world, it's in the thousands of dollars that people have to pay simply because they've chosen not to take the vaccine. These are the kinds of things that are happening, particularly in the province of Quebec. Hmm.
Has it actually begun in Quebec?
The big box stores has not begun yet, but it's going to happen in the next few weeks. But as I mentioned, the cannabis and liquor stores started today. Mm. You have to have a passport in order to enter those stores. And, you know, to me, it makes no sense. It's punitive in nature, from my perspective. It's a punishment simply because you've chosen not to be vaccinated. Let's talk about truck drivers. Does anyone know any truck drivers? You know, we have to really thank God for every truck driver that is on the road, even as we speak, driving to and fro across Canada, across the United States, bringing produce and other things to us, even on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the floods, think about the weather, the snowstorms, all these things they have to deal with on a daily basis. And, you know, it's not easy, but they've made that commitment. Well, as of this past Saturday, unvaccinated drivers, Canadian drivers, coming from the U.S. into Canada are going to have to quarantine for 14 days upon arrival. 14 days upon arrival. In other words, they're encouraging every single unvaccinated truck driver to get vaccinated. And so they're putting the squeeze on them that when they come to the border, the U.S.-Canadian border, they're going to have to be vaccinated. American drivers approaching the Canadian border will not be allowed in at all if they're unvaccinated.
Wow.
Now, you have to wonder, I've heard that 15 to 20% of Canadian truck drivers are unvaccinated. That percentage is higher in the United States, and I've heard it being up to 35% of drivers in the United States are unvaccinated. So when you take all of those drivers and you say, you know what, you can't cross the border, how is that going to hamper all the deliveries that need to take place so that we can fill our grocery stores with produce? I mean, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. I don't know if it gets worse than that. And the thing is, how can these truck drivers, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, unvaccinated truck drivers crossing over the border into Canada may pose a risk of transmitting COVID-19 to the general public.
Wow. They rarely get out of the trucks.
Exactly, Darcy. Exactly. But this is what they're saying. Some infectious disease doctors and at least one public health expert has said, you know, they could be a risk of, you know, taking the virus and spreading it all across Canada. Well, you know, I've had two brother-in-laws who have been truck drivers, and I know the amount of time that they do spend in their vehicle, in their truck. I mean, to me, it's ludicrous to think that they could pose a problem to the Canadian public. But But other specialists who spoke to CBC News said they were skeptical about whether the new federal vaccine mandate for truckers is needed and question how much of these drivers, how many of them could actually contribute overall to the potential spread of the virus. You know, last week it looked like they were going to reverse their decision on a Wednesday. But then the next day they changed their minds and said, you know what? This is what's going to happen. All of these things taking place collectively, in my mind, are not to the benefit of the general public in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if you're listening out there, but it seems that a lot of decisions are being made that make no sense to me and all the people in this room and all the people listening by radio to 89.1 FM tonight, this and that, make no sense whatsoever. I mean, you know, when you think about the pandemic, they were always looking for herd immunity. Do you remember that term, herd immunity?
Oh, yes.
And could you give us any kind of definition of what herd immunity is?
Herd immunity. It's basically a compilation of individuals that have been infected, and once they're infected, the virus won't spread as freely. Like,
if you have a certain percentage
correct. Of
the population.
Yes.
And I think the percentage at one time was 75%.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went up to 80%.
Yeah.
And now they want everybody vaccinated. 85% is not enough, and 90% is not enough. Every single individual from coast to coast to coast has to be vaccinated in order to rid the country of this virus. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, even just those that have had COVID-19 naturally, too, the fact that that's not being accounted for as a herd immunity in a sense, like that's just ludicrous.
I think the other thing that really makes me wonder is why we're not talking about building up your immune system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is said, nothing is talked about, there's no studies brought forward about how can we, in the midst of this pandemic, build our individual immune systems. Isn't there a way to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the ways?
Through diet and exercise, these things that are being basically taken away and closed down, these facilities, and even just the whole like mental health concept as well, and being with people and relationships, everything. It's all about isolation, and we don't work like that as human beings.
Exactly. So. I think that's a very good point you're bringing up tonight in regard to this pandemic. They say how do they put that? The cure is worse than the...
The cure can't be worse than the
cause.
Yeah, exactly.
So you kind of wonder about all the things that have been happening, mm-hmm. all the restrictions that have taken place, and the dominoes that are falling. And yeah, people's mental health has been affected in huge ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're not looking at the numbers of those that have come into hospitals for anxiety or depression or anything like that. Looking at the numbers of overdosing and stuff, I think is very similar or at par to like our COVID numbers, basically. Why aren't we talking about that?
Exactly. I mean, it's like there's a certain mode of talking, certain genre, if I could use that terminology, a script. And everyone has to stay on script. And if you get off script or you question what is on the script, then you're ostracized.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something else tonight. For fully vaccinated Canadians, one of the pandemic's most perplexing aspects is the reluctance of some people to get their COVID-19 shot or take preventative measures like wearing a mask. Well, you know, maybe we should talk about masks tonight for just a few moments. Someone was telling me yesterday that their daughter got one shot, got two shots, got the booster, wears a mask all of the time. I don't know if she wears it in bed or not, but she wears a mask all of the time. All of the time. and she still got COVID-19. And you have to ask yourself the question tonight, if she's gotten all these shots and is wearing a mask all of the time and still gets COVID-19, you have to wonder, something's amiss somewhere, mm-hmm. right? Something's fishy. Something doesn't make sense. Let's talk about masks. You know, they say that the mask, the cloth masks, mm-hmm. are virtually useless.
Yeah.
The medical masks that people are wearing, I don't know how mm-hmm. effective they are.
Yeah. Once it's saturated, it doesn't work. And how many hours are healthcare workers wearing these masks?
And not only healthcare workers, you know, I have to tell you, and I hope that person's not listening, but I was down to Home Hardware the other day, and I saw a guy put on his mask, and I have to tell you, that mask looked like it had been through a war. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I don't know if anybody out there in Radio Land has seen the type of mask that people are wearing, that they have it in their back pocket. This guy put on his mask, and it really scared me for a minute because I thought I saw ketchup stains, or I don't know how long he's had the mask. He's probably had it from the beginning of the pandemic, and here we are going into the second, approaching the third
two years later.
He's still wearing the same mask.
Yeah.
I have to confess tonight. I have to make a confession. You know, pastors need to make confessions mm-hmm. too, right?
Yeah.
And I have to confess that I have a mask that I sometimes wear that is in my coat jacket that I leave there constantly. I don't know how long I've been using it. I don't know how often I've used it. And I'm wondering, how effective is it? How effective is it? Okay.
Yeah, 0%.
0%. So, you know, the whole idea that everybody's just wearing these masks, and like you said, you wear them, how many times can you wear a mask before it becomes useless?
One time. It's done. That's it. And it's a matter of hours, yeah. I believe, after a few hours, or if it gets saturated from your expiration, right, and inspiring, then it's done.
So in the hospital, mm-hmm. when a healthcare worker puts on a mask, mm-hmm. at the end of their shift, do they take that mask home with them and use it the next day, or do they throw it out and use a new mask?
I'd say they're pretty good at throwing them out, but I mean, they're probably using one mask for the whole day.
Okay.
Unless they're going into a COVID-positive patient's room, of course, like they're donning and doffing proper PPEs, but for day-to-day care, they're probably using one mask.
Okay. So the next day they wouldn't wear the same mask again, right?
No.
They would throw it out and put on a new mask.
Correct.
But all of us are walking around town with masks that we've had for months and months and mm-hmm. months, right?
Yep.
Anyway, I've gotten kind of a little off topic here, but a fascinating new study offers some clues, adding to evidence that people who accept or reject COVID precautions actually think in different ways. The research concluded that vaccine hesitancy is somewhat associated with being less oriented towards the future. Huh. Hmm. I wonder. I don't know. I don't think that way. I don't know if anybody in this room thinks that way, that, you know, we don't care about the future. We're just thinking about the here and now. I think about the future all the time, especially as a pastor, when you're preaching the word of God and you're talking to people about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I often wonder where these studies come from.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Where is this information from?
Yeah, like people just pop these studies out of nowhere and people believe them. Without even wondering, you know, how on earth have they mm-hmm. come up with this stuff? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. But I have to say for my own self, I definitely think about the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right now the future doesn't look that great, especially for our own country.
No.
I mean, all the things that are happening, all the things that are taking place, the price of everything. I don't know if anyone has been down to the grocery store lately. Not me, but my wife has. And I asked her today, I said, honey, that's a term for dearly beloved. I said to her, I said, honey, I said, are the prices going up? She said, yeah, they're going up big time. Prices going up. You know, they're predicting that shelves are going to be empty because they're not going to be able to get produce to the stores because the truck drivers who are unvaccinated cannot drive their vehicles anymore. Mm-hmm. And that lessens the amount of people that can haul the produce in.
I read something that there's something even about grocery stores closing and they're short-staffed. Like,
exactly. Yeah. I've heard the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's a good point that you brought up. I heard and I read the same article that grocery stores may have to close. Well,
yeah, it's scary.
Last thing I want to talk about tonight is what I preached on Sunday. 4,000 North American pastors unite against Canada's new LGBTQ conversion therapy law and warn that it will criminalize Christianity. You know, and if you didn't hear the message that I preached on Sunday, you can go to our website and you can listen to it under sermons. You know, the interesting thing about C4, which I find, you know, even if you're not a believer tonight, if you're not a Christian, this aspect of Bill C4 still amazes me that even if someone wants to get help of their own choice, they come to me as a pastor of their own choice. We're not forcing anyone. We're not, you know, squeezing anyone and making them go down a certain road. But of their own free will, they decide that they want to make a change in regard to their sexuality. That if they were to come and ask for help, there's a possibility that I could be charged under this new law. So the government, as I mentioned on Sunday, is deciding, you know what? You don't know what you're doing. We'll make the decision for you. To me, folks, whether you agree with homosexuality or not, to me, that's still government overreach. Mm-hmm. In the truest sense of the of what we're trying to say here tonight. Anything you want to say on that?
No, I think you said it very well.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. I appreciate that. Well, we're going to get to our guests tonight. And we mentioned that we have two guests that we want to talk to tonight. The first one is Darcy, and she's sitting right here beside me. And we're going to chat with her tonight. What were you doing in the healthcare field?
Thank you for having me. In the healthcare field, I was hired to do logistics. So I did the ordering and stocking of the hospital. And then I also was able to do patient ambassador. So that's the person that sits at the front door and does the COVID checking when you come in and ask the questions of, do you have a fever or any symptoms?
So you were doing that?
Yes.
Hmm. I must have answered those questions a few times.
Every time.
Yeah, you were there. Okay, you were there. Tell us a little bit about your story and why you decided not to give in and take the vaccine.
Well, I didn't take the vaccine strictly for health reasons. And I felt that knowing what we know now of what's happening with these vaccinations and the adverse reactions that are coming out, then I just felt that it wasn't going to be right for me. And I kind of felt like I was going to be playing Russian roulette.
Okay.
And unfortunately, we don't get a chance to have an exemption. I remember my surgeon telling me that you and you alone are in charge of your own health. And now it doesn't feel like that's the case at all.
You know, you bring up a very good point. That freedom to make that choice yourself has been taken away. And they say, no. You have the ability to make your own choice. Oh, yeah, but then you get fired.
Right, there was consequences to that.
There's consequences to that. What did you notice as you were in the hospital, as you were moving around the hospital? Is there anything that you noticed or anything that you observed that was alarming?
Absolutely. I was in a very unique position because I was able to be in a spot in the hospital that I could see people coming in and getting the vaccination. And then I could also see down the hall where they would come in for the COVID testing. So when they would come in for the vaccination, probably within a week and a half, I would see those same people that just got the vaccination come and get tested because they were sick. Now, what I found out is because I think within the 14 days after your first dose, you're still considered unvaccinated. And then this is where the case of the, you know, the unvaccinated being the bad guy comes into place.
Right.
And then because I was able to have free rein around the hospital, it wasn't until after the vaccination rollout that the ER started to fill up. So that was quite something to see as well. So I think what they were telling us in the news is certainly not something that I was seeing with my own eyes.
So you're there, you're moving around the hospital, you see people taking the vaccine, and it not too much longer, some of these people were in the emergency.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, with some kind of adverse reaction. And I also saw with my own eyes people having like anaphylaxis right there after the shot. And then you hear the nurses saying that, well, the same rhetoric that they have to repeat over and over, that they're safe and effective. Whereas we're seeing what's happening to these people and we're not allowed to talk about it.
You know, that's an alarming point that you're bringing up. It's almost like, you know, you're not supposed to talk about these things. We're supposed to keep quiet. It's almost like hushing any kind of dissent or anything that would be questionable, sweeping it under the carpet and saying, you know, hey, the vaccines are our way out of the pandemic, and we want to keep saying that. And you sharing those things, that's going to cause people to not want to get the vaccine. And so we're just going to push that aside.
Oh, absolutely. We were not allowed to talk about anything that we saw. Or if somebody asked me about it, then I would just have to say that they were safe and effective. Otherwise, you just lose your job.
But, you know, what they always say, the mantra that I always hear is that they're safe and effective and that any kind of reactions are very rare.
Right. They like to say that they're rare, but they're not rare at all. We're just not allowed to talk about them and they don't get reported.
Okay. So how did you feel when you lost your job? Because, you know, and this is the reason that we're bringing healthcare workers on the radio to share their story, because, you know, each person that lost their job obviously is an individual with a family, friends, and, you know, you kind of, your story kind of got lost, you know, everything just kind of moved on. And that's why we've stopped and we've said, you know what? We want to give you an opportunity to share your story, because it's dramatic to lose your job. It's dramatic. And you know the interesting thing about it, when you lose your job, in case people don't realize this out there in Radio Land, you don't get UI.
No.
There's no unemployment insurance.
Nothing.
You're fired.
Not even fired. They just let you go.
There's no unemployment insurance. There's nothing to say, okay, we're going to take care of you for the next little bit until you find another job. None of that's happening.
No, not at all. And it's very frustrating because it's not, I was let go not because of my job performance. I was let go because apparently I had made a choice that I was coerced into doing. It was like either you take the shot or you don't work.
Right.
But now it's making no sense, because we have affected hospital staff now that are sick, that are still able to keep their job, and meanwhile we're healthy and we were let go.
So how do you feel, you know, when you hear the headlines, you know, there's a staff shortage, there's staff shortages.
They created those. There's no reason that they should have let go of our staff if we're still in a pandemic. And that doesn't make any sense.